I'm sure you've all been under some kinds of pressures this week. Who hasn't had any pressure this week? Don't put your hands up, but what are you doing? I happen to know that our Pastor Paul has been under quite a lot of pressure this week. And it affects a lot of things that we do, and he's got deadlines to meet. And remember that Moses there, he had Aaron and Hur to lift up his hands. And I want us just to do that for Pastor Paul. I was sat there thinking, shall I do this, shall I not? And then just seeing that, you know, Shola with all the technology, the experience that he's got, things still can't work. And that's been Paul's problems this week with the computer, other things. And Sarah is helping him out with that and all the pressure that it has on the family as well. So I'm going to ask us, you know, just to stand up for a moment or two and just lift up Paul's arms and to pray for him. In, you know, there's a verse in the scripture, Paul says, brothers, I would not have you ignorant. Well, there's a lot of people in churches who would not have you ignorant of all their problems, but that's not the case with Paul. And he wouldn't have told us all this. But I just want us to pray this week, and every day this week. I know some of you do that. But let's just pray for Paul this week to enable him to do all the things that he has to do. Thank you, Lord. Just pray out together. Just pray out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We thank you for Paul. We give you praise and honor and glory to your name. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for our pastor. Heavenly Father, I just pray for our Pastor Paul that you would uphold him, you would strengthen him. Lord Jesus, I pray that I raise up the shield of faith around him and protect him from every fiery dart of the enemy. Lord, we just commit him to you today and this week and his family, for Claire, for Sarah. Lord, I just ask for your hand to be upon them. Lord Jesus, that they will see much evidence of your grace and of your power and of your work mightily through them. And through Pastor Paul and what he's doing for us. We thank you for him, Lord. Thank you for his faithfulness. Thank you for his commitment, Lord. Thank you for your hand upon him. We, this week, Lord, we lift up his arms, Lord, in faith as what you're going to do through him. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I want to introduce you to my grandson. Can I do that? Can I?
The one who was born at Postcard.
Hello, Boise. Hello. Hello, look. I just want you to introduce, this is Charlie. Charlie's been helping me through my pressures this week of computers going wrong and staying up really late to get some stuff sorted out. So this is Charlie.
Hey, Charlie.
Say hello, Charlie.
Hey,
Charlie.
You going to preach this morning, Charlie?
Yeah!
Praise the Lord. He's a lovely boy. He's a lovely lad. Thank God for grandchildren. And for children.
Amen.
And for wives and husbands and families. And okay, let's pray. Father, we pray this morning, Lord, that you will speak your word to us. We thank you that you've called us to be overcomers. Even under pressure, Lord, I thank you that you always give us the victory. And we praise you this morning for your word that you're going to speak to us this morning in this season where we seek you and we receive the new things that you're wanting to do in us and through us. So, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you're not too chilly this morning. I know it gets a little bit cool in this hall. And I pray the Holy Spirit will warm you this morning. That would be a good thing to do. You know, Pastor Colin said the other week, he said the Lord had given him a word, and the word was just four words about 2010. And I wrote them down because they're significant, especially as we've been doing a series on grace. And he said, the Lord said to him, extraordinary grace, extraordinary grace, and great opportunity. For this year, 2010, extraordinary grace that God is giving and great opportunity. Wow. So he's giving us unusual and extraordinary grace this year for great opportunities. This isn't just to G you up at the start of the year. This isn't just to sort of hopefully make you feel a bit more positive about this year. But it really is that God has some amazing things that he does want to do in this church and through you and through me and through us this year and this decade. When we look back at the end of this decade, we'll say, wow. We'll say, wow, what? That was the Lord. What amazing things that God has done through this decade. And I want us to go to, this morning, I want us, first of all, to go to the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke. And it's all, I'm not actually still in Christmas. I know I spoke about Mary, and for some reason that the Lord knows about, he keeps taking me back to this whole thing of Mary. So please don't think I don't know what to speak about, so I'm going back to Christmas again. We're going to have Christmas the whole way, all the way through this year. But there's something God is wanting to impress upon us about Mary. And I'm going to read it out, the truth. I've done it before. We were talking about grace to conceive, grace to become pregnant, grace to deliver the things of God. And Mary, literally, physically, obviously, she actually received the seed of God and she bore Jesus. And I'm just going to read just literally a few lines from Luke 1 about Mary. The angel said to her, I'm sorry, but the print in this Bible is extremely small. I don't know why they made it so small, really. Anyway, it says, greetings, he said to her, you are favored by God and he is with you. Now, just take that word over your life this morning. You are favored by God, and he is with you. Just take that as a word from the Lord to you today. He actually speaks those words to you into your life this morning, and he speaks into the church the same. You are favored by God. Another word for favor is grace. You've got my grace over you. That's my divine favor, my divine ability. You are favored by God, and he is with you. It says these words disturbed Mary greatly, for she couldn't understand what they meant. Why does she have such a response? Because she was a very humble woman. She had no airs and graces about herself. All she knew was she had such a strong desire for the Lord. All she knew is that she wanted to serve God. As a young teenager, her life was ahead of her, and she gave her life. She'd given her life to God, to serve God. And she, like many Jewish believers, wanted to be the mother of the Messiah. And so the angel said to her, there's no need to fear, Mary, for God is pleased with you. I wonder if you're aware that God, has God ever said that to you? Has he ever woken you up in the morning when you wake up, hopefully in the morning, when you wake up, have you ever heard the Spirit of God say, I'm pleased with you? Perhaps you've heard it through someone else, actually, because sometimes we find that hard to kind of, but you know, God does speak like that. If you're seeking after God, if you've got a heart like Mary, somewhere along the line is going to say to you, I'm pleased with you. And he says to Mary, I am pleased. Don't fear, Mary, for God is pleased with you. You are to become pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. And God wants us to become pregnant and to give birth. If you can just take hold of that, God says, you've found favor in my sight. I am with you. Don't fear. I'm pleased with you. You're to become pregnant and will give birth. So God wants you and me to become pregnant with his will. God wants us to become pregnant with his word. God wants us to become pregnant with a vision for my life, for your life, for the church. He wants us to be pregnant. In other words, we're carrying, God has spoken to us, given us a revelation of what he wants to do, and then what do? We conceive it in our spirit. We have it in here, and then we begin to pray on it. And just like a mother, just like my daughter, just having the baby, it went through that 9 months of looking after that baby while it was in the womb. And in the same way, we have to take care of the things that God entrusts to us, lest we abort the very thing that God gave to us. You know, there's many things in this nation that haven't happened because they got aborted. Because the devil robbed God's people. The devil robbed God's leaders. The devil robbed people in churches. The devil has robbed churches from actually getting into that plan. And so the whole thing, if you like, it's not that God has shelved it, but it's been pushed back. And the Lord is saying, this is the time to conceive and be pregnant with the word and with the will of God for the church, for this nation. And for us locally here in the areas that we're covering here and in our families and in our personal lives. God wants us to be pregnant so that we all give birth. No, it's no good just being pregnant, is it? God wants to be pregnant, carrying the word and the will of God in our hearts so that we're praying over it and we're developing what's inside there so that it begins to grow. And when it's got to full growth, it will come to birth. Are you with me? And this is a picture for us this year. And I don't know what God's given to you, and you probably don't know what God's given to me, but please be faithful with God and spend time in prayer and develop what's there, what God has given to you. If you haven't got anything, then spend time before God and wait for him to give you his word, give you his revelation about what he has called you to specifically do and what he wants you to do. Does this make sense? And so that we begin to run with a vision. As a church, we begin to run with a vision because God has put something inside of us. And then later on it says verse 35 to me. It says, he replied, Mary asked the angel, I'm still a virgin, how can this happen? And he replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And we said, it would be 2 weeks ago now, that the Holy Spirit wants to come afresh upon us. That's why it was good this morning as we begin to worship the Lord, we begin to say, Holy Spirit, I want you to come and literally come and overtake us, come and take over. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. In other words, as we seek God at this time, and this month, we said that this month we'd give ourselves to pray to the Lord and to seek him and to listen to his voice and give ourselves to him. And we're not through the month yet. This is a great week to give yourself to the Lord in prayer. I know that we've got lots of things to do practically and we've got work to go to. But I tell you, we need to take time aside out to pray and seek God. Because if you just work and work and work and work and the prayer becomes less and less and less, guess what's going to happen? Nothing, actually. Spiritually, nothing will happen. That's why we need to prioritize. The most important thing is to meet with God. He is the most important person, and what matters is that we hear what he's saying. And so, the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Now, when God speaks his word to you, when he gives you a revelation of something he's wanting to do, he will then send the Holy Spirit, but you must allow the Holy Spirit to come and do his work. Yes. And what we often do, we hear a word and then we dash off onto the next assignment that we had in our minds to do, and we miss what God really wanted to do. Because it says here, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary. Mary heard the word, but she realized that it couldn't happen without the Holy Spirit coming to do that work. And so the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And this time, in this particular period and season, and I keep hearing different people saying, I've met with God in a new way, or the Lord's revealed himself to me in a way I've never seen him before. I've got set free in this area. The Lord is doing an amazing work, actually. And God wants us personally to have such meetings with him that the Holy Spirit literally comes upon us. And when he comes upon us, he'll bring his victory and his freedom and liberty, and he'll then empower us with the thing that he wants us to carry. Does this make sense? It's no good just having a word. We need to let the Holy Spirit come upon us with power. It says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. The child you bear will be holy. And the thing that you bear and the thing that I bear needs to be a holy thing. The will of God is a holy thing. It's holy. And God wants to speak his word to us, give us revelation, let the Holy Spirit come upon us so that what we're carrying is of God, so that we can begin to bear it. And the Holy Spirit will overshadow and watch over his word in your heart and your life so that it will come to pass. Amen. God never gives up. That's one thing I've learned over the years. I might give up, but God never gives up. He never gives up. He is persistent, and that's why he gives us his spirit to pray through things, to persist in prayer. And so the thing that we will bring to birth will be holy. God wants us to bring some things to birth, my brothers and sisters, this year. Some new things. He wants this church to bring to birth the new things in this town. New things in East Grinstead, where we do a work there as well. He wants us to bring new things into our lives, and he wants us to bring these things to birth. And the angel said this: for nothing is impossible for God. I want to encourage you this week, spend a bit of time aside and just bring before God all the things that are impossible for you, and just see God make them possible. We're after a building. We've been to see some buildings. I'm in faith because God said, I want you to have a building in the town centre. And as we're looking, we hear these incredibly ridiculous figures of money. Impossible. But what's impossible for us is not impossible for God. Because if God has said that, then he will do it. And we have to let the Holy Spirit come and do all the, you know, do the work. Nothing is impossible for God. What he says, he will do. And Mary answered, I am the Lord's servant, so I submit willingly to what you have said. And the angel left her. And we said the other week that Mary became pregnant, not because God, just because God had said so, but she became pregnant because she believed and received the word of God. And the Holy Spirit, she allowed the Holy Spirit to come upon her. And because she believed and received that, she then became pregnant. I never thought of it before this Christmas, when I was reading this word. But the Lord said, the reason she became pregnant was because I planned it, but she received it. And that's why we need to spend time and let the Lord work his work in us. I am the Lord's servant. I wonder if you see yourself as the Lord's servant this morning. That's all we are. We're sons of God, of course, but we're servants. We're servants of the Lord. I am the Lord's servant, so I submit willingly to what you've said. And the angel left her, and we know the result. We're here because of Mary. We're here because of the Lord. But we're here because of Mary's obedience and because of her submission, aren't we? Mary said, I glorify the Lord with all my soul. My spirit rejoices in God. He is my Savior. He knows that I'm only his humble servant. Yet every future generation will consider me blessed, for the mighty one has done such great things for me, and his name is holy. Isn't that amazing? Amen. I am only his humble servant, yet every future generation will consider me blessed. Do you know that what you do can affect thousands of people? What you do in your little life, what I do in my little area of my life, my sphere, God can touch multitudes, and we may know nothing about it, but if you're obedient, if you submit to the Lord and you obey God, the result of your life could touch millions of people. Not necessarily by being a preacher to millions of people, but just your obedience. You could preach the word to someone, you could share the gospel with someone, you could heal someone, and that person could then go on and perhaps God would call them to be an evangelist that will reach the multitudes. You just don't know what an act of kindness, an act of love can do. And God has called us to be servants before him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 18. And we just have a quick whiz. Is that all right? We have a whiz this morning in the Old Testament. 1 Kings 18, verse 41. Talking about bringing to birth. God wants us to bring things to birth. What about Elijah? We read about Elijah in verse 41. God had told Elijah, when you say there'll be no more rain, there will be no more rain for, was it 3 years? And then he said, but when you speak about the rain again, when I tell you to, you can call upon the rain and the rain will come back after the famine and the drought. And Elijah carried this in prayer. And I believe he was pregnant, if you like, for the rain to come. People were desperate because there was no rain in the land. And God was dealing in this matter. And Elijah said to Ahab, go up and eat and drink, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain. What was Elijah doing? Elijah had the will of God in his heart. Elijah knew a whole series of things had to happen. And one of them was that the rain should come. The rain should return. And as Elijah is praying, we're talking this morning about seeking God and praying. As Elijah was praying, he said he heard the sound of the abundance of rain. So he perceived that the rain was on its way, that the time had come for the rain to come. And Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. The birth position, all right? The birthing position, the travailing in prayer. He was actually getting down before God and saying, it's time for this thing to come now. And God wants us to be full of things in our hearts, full of things in our spirits, and know the timing of God to bring them to birth. Is this making sense? Everything has a time and a season. Sometimes there's some things that I'm still praying for now. I've been praying for about 25 years or more because I know God has said that he'll do certain things. And so we have to continue to pray those things until they come. Most things come a little bit sooner than that, thankfully. But God says you need to bring to birth through prayer. And this is what Elijah did. He got on his face. And God is not on autopilot. Things do not happen without prayer, do they? God doesn't just decide he's going to do something. He's actually designed the whole thing so that he worked through the church and worked through his people to release his kingdom, to release his will. This is why the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. God is depending on you and me to pray his kingdom and his will to come down on the earth. And if we don't do it, it won't come. That's why God has to put that in our hearts. And so Elijah was praying for the rain, and he got down on his face. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he could see absolutely nothing. It appeared like nothing was going to happen, but Elijah could see something else. What are you seeing this morning? What do you see when you come here on a Sunday morning? What do you see about Crawley? What do you see about East Grinstead? What do you see about our nation? What do you see about your family? What do you see about your own life and what God's called you to do? Because God wants you to see something. And once you see it, you become pregnant with it and run with the vision and pray over it and look after it and feed it and nourish it and then bring it to birth through the word of God, through speaking and confessing and praying it through faith. And we know what happened. It came to pass the seventh time that the servant went up, he said, there is a cloud. And he went back to Elijah and said, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand. And he said, go up and tell Ahab the king, prepare your chariot, go down before the rain stops you. And it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain, and Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. What did Elijah do? He brought to birth what God had promised. There was this incredible deluge of rain that the land hadn't had for, was it 3 years, 3.5 years? And so Elijah brought it to birth through prayer. What about Noah? If you go to Genesis, well, we won't read anything in Genesis right now, but if you read between Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 9 about Noah, you imagine if you were Noah. Noah became pregnant with an ark. God gave him a vision. God gave him dimensions. God spoke to him about the ark, and he drew it out, and he thought, this is how I want it to be. And you know, Noah believed that something was going to happen where he's going to need to use this ark. There'd never been rain before. So he was in real faith. And he carried this vision of the ark, and he built the ark according to the vision, according to the word that God had spoken to him. And how long was it? Was it 100 years? Was that how long it took for the ark to be? But you imagine doing that for 100 years. Some of us would be dead. Some of us wouldn't even get there. But Noah, of course, they lived a little bit longer then as well, but Noah was in absolute faith, and so he was pregnant with this ark and with the fact that God was going to save him and his house, and it was going to be a deliverance for the whole human race. And he had vision that God had a plan through him. And Noah, because it says that Noah obeyed God. Noah submitted to God and obeyed God. And because of his faith, we're here today. He brought the thing to birth. It came to pass because Noah believed God and prayed and acted on what God said. What about Abraham? Let's go to Genesis chapter 15. Abraham had no children. Abraham and Sarah had no children. This is a great illustration. They were barren. And we know the story, don't we, that Abraham was given a word from God that he was going to have a child. In fact, all the promises of God, he said that he's, well, let's look at it. Let's look in chapter 15 and verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, talking about this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now towards heaven. Count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And Abraham believed, it says, in the Lord. And he account and God accounted it to him as righteousness. And we know the story that Abraham, because he believed God, Sarah conceived and had a child. They did it the wrong way to start with, didn't they? Because Abraham, they couldn't have children, and in the end, he went with what she said, what Sarah said, and they had a child through the maidservant Hagar. And that was a work of the flesh. But Abraham, if Abraham had stayed the course, none of that would need to have happened. And God's saying to us today, stay with the Holy Spirit. Stay with what the Holy Spirit says. Don't go off into the flesh. Don't dive off into the flesh just because things aren't quite happening how you thought they should. Don't go off into the flesh, into your own selfish way or your own way, just because things aren't quite working out how you thought they should have done by now. But this is a time to really seek God, to get close to God. And this is what Abraham did. He repented. He and Sarah had to repent because they had a child by the maid. And today we have the Arab nations are descended from Ishmael, who was the child that was produced by Abraham and the maid, rather than Abraham and his wife. So that child was not the child of promise. But Isaac was the child of promise. And Abraham and Sarah began to have faith that God would give them a child. And it says, when Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. So Abraham was pregnant too. He was pregnant with a vision that God had said, from you and Sarah, all the earth is going to be blessed. What an incredible promise God made. It was through Abraham that, you know, that Jesus would come. And so God had made a promise to Abraham that they would have the child of promise. And they got Isaac, which means laughter. They were so thrilled. They were so amazed, really, at what God did. But they believed God for the child of promise. And so they went with what the Holy Spirit, they eventually got there, and they did what the Holy Spirit wanted, didn't they? And the Lord is saying to us, what's it going to be, my spirit or your flesh? Are you going to try and work things out your way, or are you going to get close to me, tuck yourself in with me, seek me with all of your heart, and let my spirit move, let my spirit come and give you the child of promise? God wants to bring to birth the things of the Spirit. That's what I'm saying. That's what he's saying to us. I want to bring to birth this year the things that the Holy Spirit has entrusted to you and is entrusted to us as a church. And we'll get it if we will diligently seek after God. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. How many of you have heard of a king called Asa? King Asa. Well, I hadn't looked at King Asa for a little while, but I've been reading about him recently. King Asa was an amazing king. 2 Chronicles 14. Are you with me this morning? Are you still with me?
Yes.
It says, so Abijah rested with his fathers and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa his son reigned in his place in his days. The land was quiet for 10 years, a decade. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He removed the altars of the foreign gods and the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. Asa had a heart for God. He had an incredible heart for God, and he removed the idols. And God is wanting us to be like Asa. Have a heart after God and remove the idols, because if you allow idols to get in the way, it'll hinder you from bringing to birth the very things that God wants to do. And an idol probably isn't a Buddha in your front room. You'll have idols, you can have idols in your home or idols in your life. An idol is anything but anything that takes the first place of Jesus in your life. It can become it will be an idol. If Jesus isn't first, then something else will be an idol and will start sucking on your time and taking away from what God's really called you to do. Right? Do you agree? Beware of idols. They can be people, they can be jobs, they can be legitimate things, but they can become idols. They can be things that we set up and they actually stand between us and the Lord. So cut down any idols that you see in your life. He removed the high places and the incense altars. He built fortified cities in the land of Judah, and they had rest in those years because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said to Judah, that Judah was an area, let us build these cities and make walls around them and towers, gates and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. You know, King Asa was a man who sought after God. That meant that he diligently put the first time aside for God. That meant he was constantly seeking after God's will. And if you're like that, no matter what you go through, if you're a man or a woman after God like that, God will give you the victories that you need. God will get you to where he wants you to get to. And Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah, carrying shields and spears. From Benjamin, 280,000, they carried shields and drew bows. All these were mighty men of valor. Then Zerah, the Ethiopian, came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men. Wow, that meant his army was half the size. And Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephathah at Marishah. And listen to this. Asa cried out to the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, it's nothing for you to help with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you. And in your name we go against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. What was he saying? He was saying, it doesn't matter the fact that there's 1,000,000 men in this army coming against us. It doesn't matter that we're much smaller than they are. God, you can get the victory whether we're small or big. It makes no difference. And we even if we lack power, and he was aware of that, but he says, you're our God. Don't let man prevail against us. And he began to call upon the Lord. And it says, the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to Gerar. So the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover, for they were broken before the Lord and his army. What's the Lord saying to us? He's saying, if you will seek after me, get the vision, get the thing that God wants you to carry in your heart. It doesn't matter what the enemy tries to do to stop you, he wants to give you victory. If you will put him first, if you will call upon his name, he will give you victory and defeat the enemy. And defeat the enemy before your eyes and break the enemy off completely. And this is what happened. It was a complete victory. Some of us have partial victories. But God is saying, I want this time to be a time of complete victories. So that persistent problem, that persistent need, that persistent area of your life that you keep going back to, or that you're not breaking through on, that persistent area where the enemy seems to come through again, is going to be broken off in Jesus' name. So you don't have to go round the circle yet one more time. God is saying, this is a time when you're going to see the same thing that Asa saw. He saw the enemy defeated before his eyes. And that thing was cut off. It would not come again. Amen. I can tell you there's some enemies that have been cut off from my life over some years now that will never come back again because I saw them defeated. They'll never come back again. I was set free from some stuff. It'll never come back again. Defeated for good. Amen. And God's saying he wants that for us as a church. He wants that in our own individual lives. Just a couple more things about Asa, and then we're going to pray together. 2 Chronicles 15, again talking about King Asa. It says, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and he said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with him. The Lord is with you while you are with him. In other words, keep the connection. God has been saying to us the last few weeks, be very accurate concerning my will. Be accurate about the things God wants you to do. That's why we have to seek him. We don't know it without the Lord. We need to spend time in prayer, expecting God to speak to us. Open up the word, read the word of God and pray and listen and lay before God and let God speak to you. And as you do so, God will speak and make things clear. And he says, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Not a good place to be. But God is encouraging us today, saying, if you seek me, you'll find me. Don't forsake the Lord, but seek him. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble, they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. And in those times there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in, but great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the lands. So nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. Now listen to this. We're living in days where there's a lot of adversity around. People are looking for answers and can't find them. But in the church and in the Lord, we have all the answers we need. Amen. We're carrying the answers. We're carrying the good news. We're carrying the power of God, of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord said to Asa and says this to us, but you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Be strong. Do not let your hands be weak. In other words, don't give up. Don't stop serving God. Don't let idols and things get in the way, but keep serving God. Be strong and don't let your hands be weak, for your work that you do for him shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and he removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim. And he restored the altar of the Lord, in other words, the place of worship, the place of sacrifice, the place of intimacy with God. And God is saying the same thing for us. Be strong. Don't let your hands be weak. Your work shall be rewarded. Be encouraged today and keep the altar. That's to do with your meeting with God, your time with God, your relationship with God. Keep the altar of the Lord right. Keep it in the first place before the Lord. And it says they offered to the Lord, further down the chapter, they offered the Lord 700 bulls. I don't think we're expected to do that. 7,000 sheep from the spoil they had brought. Now listen to this. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. The whole body, all of the people of Judah under King Asa made a covenant with God that they were going to seek him with all of their heart and with all their soul. And, I was praying about this early in the week, and God was saying to me, I want you as a church, if you want to do this. And so no one is forced to do this. No one has to do it except willingly. But God is saying to you as an individual and for us as a church, he's saying to us, will you seek me with all your heart and with all your soul? And they entered into this covenant with all their heart, with all their soul, and whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was put to death. In other words, death came for those that didn't seek him. Then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, victory, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns, and all Judah rejoiced at the promise, at the oath that they had made, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul, and he was found by them. That was the key. He was found by them. And the Lord gave them rest all around. God is saying to us today, I want you to come into a new covenant with me. We're not talking about the covenant that we're saved by, but a promise. Lord, I'm going to dedicate myself today, this week, this year, to seek you with all my heart and with all my soul. And keep you in first place. I will not be robbed by the devil or by distractions from that first place of seeking after you. And the Lord says, if that's your heart, if that's your attitude, then, we'll do this together this morning as we close the meeting. We'll actually do it as a dedication for the rest of this year and for the rest of our lives, hopefully. That we're saying, Lord, I'm going to seek you with all my heart and with all of my soul. Why? So that we can let God either make us pregnant with his will or cause us to carry the thing that God has already started to speak to us about, that we carry those things in our hearts for people to be saved, for our nation to be turned back to God, for breakthroughs that we need to see happen in this land. It doesn't come automatically. It comes through people like you and me who pray and who believe God. And so, I don't know. This morning as we're here, I'm aware that God has been saying this for a number of weeks now, talking about Mary, talking about being pregnant with the will of God, bringing to birth, And he's still saying it, which means that God is saying to us, seek me with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all your strength. Seek me. Spend time before me. Let me speak to you. Don't just let your life just be full of, you know, all of us. I live a very busy life. And I'm sure most of us in this room live very busy lives. There's lots to do. There's always lots. There's always more to do. I was saying to Claire yesterday, it seems like when I've finished one thing, there's still another thing that still isn't finished. And then there's a whole series of things that aren't finished. And there's always more to do. But as long as we're doing the things that God is calling us to do, we will always be busy. There'll always be more to do. But the most important thing is that we're spending time in the presence of God, that we're seeking him, listening to his voice, and praying his will into being. And the breakthroughs are enormous, what God has for us. The breakthroughs are amazing. Look at Asa. Look at the victory that Asa got. So God wants us to bring to birth his plan, his will, his victories. Is this making sense?
Yes, amen.
I'm not talking in another language this morning, am I? You can understand what God is saying to all of us, and that we need to respond to the Lord. Let's just finish with, go to the book of Isaiah, please, chapter 40. For some of you this week, you'll want to dedicate some time to pray and fast and pray. Perhaps fast a meal, maybe fast a day with no food, just water, just drink. Some of you will want to do perhaps a bit longer than that. But I encourage you to really seek after the Lord this week. And as we dedicate ourselves, I mean, we're going to all come forward. Those of us that would like to, we'll just come forward and say, Lord, I'm going to seek you with all my heart, my soul. And I'm asking you, like Asa, I'm asking you to help me. God always responds when we cry out to him for help. At a moment, he'll come when we cry out to him for help. And he'll enable us to do that thing that's in our hearts to do. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? In other words, he was saying here, I don't think God really knows what I'm going through. I think God's left me on the hill somewhere. And he's saying, why are you saying all these things? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. Anyone ever get a little bit faint or weary here? Occasionally, sometimes. Things happen, don't they? But God says, God never grows faint, never grows weary. It says his understanding is unsearchable. Wow. He gives power to the weak. Anyone weak here this morning? It's good to be weak. Weak in yourself, then you'll get your strength in God. He gives power, strength to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. This was the secret of Asa, King Asa. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But what does it say now? Those who wait. You know what that word wait means? It means those who wait in expectation. Those who hope with a definite hope something's going to happen. Those who wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. What does that mean? It means that there's going to be an exchange of strength. It means as we lay hold of God and seek him, God is going to literally impart to you his strength. There's going to be exchange of strength. Give him your weakness, he'll give you his strength. Even the youth shall faint and grow weary. The young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait in expectation on the Lord shall renew their strength. Anointing, power, Holy Spirit's coming. And they shall mount up with wings like eagles. We know the picture, don't we? The eagle is flying and the thermal currents lift the eagle up. So all he has to do is put his wings out and he's carried. And God's saying, I want my people, I want you to begin to live your life, your Christian lives, like the eagle that lets the Spirit carry you. Let the Spirit take control rather than you being in control. Trust, it's to do with trust and faith in God. Trusting in the one that's in you, the Holy Spirit. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. This is something different than just ordinary running. This is running with God, running in God. They will run and not be weary. So there's a spiritual stamina, there's a strength, there's an empowering that God wants to release to us as we wait upon him. And we will walk and not faint. God is encouraging us today, my friends, my brothers and sisters today. God is encouraging us. He wants to impart his presence into our lives afresh so that we will be strengthened and we will get to do his will. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand, shall we? Let's stand to our feet. Just respond to the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just for a few minutes, we're just going to respond, and then we'll close. But don't just respond to the message.